Well, you guys, I'm excited today to spend some time with you, just stepping into part two of our new series called Uncommon Unity. And as you will recall last week, if you're able to catch the service, if you weren't able to catch the service, grab the replay on Facebook, on YouTube, or you can go to our podcast on Google Play or Apple iTunes podcast platform and grab number one. It was called The Voice of Justice. The Voice of Justice. And we really spent time in Acts chapter 2, and it opens up with this idea that says that they were all gathered there together in one accord and in one place. And we begin to take a look at the idea of what it meant that they were all together in one accord in one place. And ultimately, it means that there was a shared, focused passion. And you know, really uncommon unity is all about this idea that we're gonna find unity in the places, or we're gonna find life in the places where we share unity. And as a community of people, there's a lot of play on words here. So uncommon, common, unity, community, a lot of words here. We're trying to do a lot in a little bit. But as a community, I really believe that we have an uncommon connection. And that uncommon connection is in where we share unity. And some of the things that we share unity in as a community is in hunger, growth, and impact. And so for us locally as a body, this is important. And we're gonna be hitting this in the back half of our series. And the front end of this series, though, I feel like it's important to realize that the world is encountering unity right now. There is an uncommon unity in the world right now. What is it? It's justice. You know, I began to share last week as well that the Lord had spoke to me in January of this year that there was a roar of justice that was gonna sweep through the earth. It was gonna be unparalleled justice like we had never seen before, that was gonna deal with corruption, it was gonna deal with hidden things at the top level of spheres of influence. And here we are. There are cases being tried right now. Investigations are happening in the deepest point and places of our government. We also have, of course, the unjust murder of George Floyd that has catalyzed a movement of people connecting. And why are they connected with it? You know, well, they're connected because of his declaration of his last breath being, "I can't breathe." And with COVID-19, the whole world's been able to relate with this idea of not being able to breathe, and it's catalyzed a shared value or a shared experience that has allowed uncommon unity to be possible, or a movement, if you will. And so we really need to be wise to the time and the seasons and understand what it looks like to really not just represent cultural justice, but to have a perspective on God's justice. We defined justice last week as anything that stands in the way of the love of God and the removal thereof. And God fiercely removes these things because he's passionate to want to make sure that all know and experience his love. Nothing can stop his love. Nothing can separate us from his love, you know, but there's a lot of distractions and a lot of situations in the culture that want to try to get us to buy into the lie and the deception that we are separated. Romans chapter 12 tells us so amazingly that, you know, not a famine, not any level of peril or conflict, not a sword or war, if you will. There is nothing that can separate us, excuse me, from the love of God. And I love how Paul, it's his greatest conviction. He says, "I am fully convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God." One of the beautiful things about the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 is that as the Holy Spirit came in, it came in like a rushing wind, but that rushing wind had a sound. It had a, I'm sure, you know, I'm not really great at my sound effects, so give me a little bit of room here. But it came as a sound, and the Bible says that every nation under heaven was in Jerusalem and could hear the sound. And as they heard the sound began to communicate to them, and it began to communicate to them in their own language. There's something beautiful about the fact that when the wind or the breath of the Spirit shows up, that it makes a connection through language to every person. You know, one of the things I've learned as I've traveled abroad is one of the most dignifying things I can do is begin to learn the language. And then if I go out of my way, even if I'm not good at the language and I make mistakes, that people just love the fact that I took the time to begin to learn language so that I can make a connection. There's no greater way to make a connection with people who are different than you, culture different than you, language different than you, than to come and to humble yourself, especially as an American, and say, I'm willing to learn your language. The Holy Spirit was making a deep connection with people in that moment, and it created a curiosity of saying, what is happening here? And I think we need a divine curiosity right now to understand what is happening here in this time, in this moment, that is allowing for an uncommon unity of justice to be possible in the earth. And I want to pick up there right now today as I spend the next 25 minutes with you guys. I want to dive in and begin to talk about what it means to actually see justice be acted upon. What's the information we need to really put justice in action? So justice has a voice, justice has a sound. It is the sound of the Spirit of God. And what I want us to understand is that justice cannot be removed from God. Justice actually is who God is. And if you go with me to Psalms chapter 89, verse 14, it says, justice and righteousness are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth shall go before your face as a habitation or an establishment. Verse 15 says, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Isn't it interesting here that once again, we have a sound. Justice and righteousness have a sound. The Spirit of the Lord has a sound that connects with all, which means that as we go after this, that there is a capacity for justice and mercy to represent all people. And that's really what we need to be mindful of right now, is where are the places where justice and righteousness are not being represented in the culture so that we can begin to represent it. You know, we have a passion to want to bring heaven on earth everywhere that we see hell. This is critical for us. It's as kingdom believers, we are sold out for heaven on earth everywhere we see hell. Where is hell at? Well, anywhere that there is an injustice. Anywhere where someone's value is considered lower or less represented than others around it. And so we need to begin to understand how to engage injustice on the earth from heaven's perspective. Once again, the world has a perspective on justice. You know, we've got different types of justice. We've got, you know, we've got social justice, we've got restorative justice, and we've got, you know, criminal justice, and we've got heaven's justice. And let me tell you this, the definition for all four of those things are very different. And we need to be engaging any form of justice on the earth from heaven's perspective. If you're really into the reality in the realm of heaven, you know that the scripture tells us about three heavens. There is a third heaven, or the heavenly realm, which is the place where God's Spirit, you know, is authored from, his resting place. There's the second heaven, which is where the principalities and our confrontation in the spirit with evil happens. And then, of course, there's the first heaven, which is here on the earth above the ground. And so, you know, as people who are wanting to do justice at a first heaven perspective, to exercise justice, we got to get a justice perspective from a third heaven, do war in the spirit at a second heaven, that the people can benefit from that justice in a first heaven. And so here, as we're engaging this, we need to set our hearts to one of saying, you know, the culture has a perspective on this. Webster's dictionary has a definition on this, but ultimately we want God's definition on justice. And so I think it's important to see that justice and righteousness are in the throne of God. It is actually the foundation of the throne. And if you think about a throne, oftentimes they were elevated. There would be stairs going up to the throne. And I believe it's in 1 Kings, we actually get very good representation of what Solomon's throne would have looked like. And so so the author here in Psalms 89 is done by an Ezra. calls an Ezraite. It's a someone of the lineage, Ethan, of the lineage of Ezra. We know that Ezra was a reformer, okay? So David or Moses wrote the majority of the Psalms, but this was written by Ethan, Psalms 89, who was of the lineage of Ezra, who was a reformer who brought restoration and reform to Israel coming out of Babylon. And so there's a real need for us to see that this perspective of righteousness and justice in Psalms 89 is not just, you know, someone who just feels bad about something or just a nice poetic scripture. Psalms is in the book of poetry. But we have to realize that this is actually from the perspective of someone who needed to do justice but had an anointing for justice on their life. I want to take a look at justice and righteousness together here real quick, because we spent a lot of time on justice last week. I want to spend a little bit of time on righteousness and how it's in the foundation, and then what goes before justice and righteousness together. And then I have five key steps for what I believe is essential right now for us to get into action with justice behind it, okay? And so I've rehearsed before, and if you've watched our sermons, our messages, or you've been at Generation One and caught a message, or if you've seen me out and about in the 18 countries that I've ministered in the last few years, I've spoken often about righteousness from a Hebrew perspective. And, you know, righteousness in Hebrew is the word tzedakah, and it comes from the word tzedak. Okay, and so tzedak and then ah is basically the idea of generosity in motion. And so tzedak is generosity, that ah, tzedak ah is generosity in motion. And the idea, the Hebrew idea of generosity, is that you would be willing to give to those who could never give back to you in return. Many people, when they think about righteousness, they've been taught that righteousness was about what you don't do. And so I'm righteous when I don't, treat my wife, you know, horribly. Or I'm righteous when I don't watch certain things on the internet. Or I'm righteous when I don't hang out with certain people. And that's really a works and performance perspective on righteousness that really is not based out of a new covenant. A new covenant perspective is that we're taking on God's righteousness, that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so we've been placed into Christ, which allows us to take on His righteousness. And this is not God's ability to not do the wrong thing. This is actually God's ability to do something for others that they could never do for themselves and maybe never even give back in return. We see God's righteousness exercised through Jesus, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That we wouldn't perish but have life. Can any of us pay back Jesus? Well, no, we can't. We have experienced righteousness in that moment as the Father gave us Jesus and us never being able to pay Him back. We're never able to do something back in return for the Father as He gave His only begotten Son. This is God's righteousness in motion. And so we know out of 2 Corinthians 5 that we're able to take on the righteousness of God because of our access to Jesus. And so when we're talking about righteousness and justice being in the foundation of the throne of God, this is not abstaining from action. This is the offensive of action, not the defensive. This is about what we are doing. And so once again, this is not about qualifying us to be in Christ. Jesus qualified us. But there is a need for demonstration of righteousness, for acts of righteousness, so that the world can see that God is continuing to give through His Son. There is the act that Jesus gave, but there is the ongoing renewing of the mind work that happens through the expression of the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh, where we begin to demonstrate the heart of God through Jesus on the earth. And this is what righteousness is. It is generosity in motion. It's not what you abstain from, it's actually what you're willing to do for the oppressed, what you're willing to do for the poor, what you're willing to do for those in different classes than you, what you're willing to do for those in other geopolitical situations who have less freedom than you do. Come on, this is the reality of what I'm able to do through grace as I demonstrate Jesus on the earth. And so this is a proactive strategy in the kingdom. You could also call it prevention in the kingdom. And so, you know, and the prevention circles, you know, many of them are talking about how we, you know, one of the great ways we can have impact in the criminal justice system right now is to the people who are suffering because of some of the gaps and the loopholes and the things that aren't working very well in our criminal justice system, is that we can get people educated. And so 99% of people who read at average level by third grade don't go to jail. Many of the people who are in jail have literacy issues. They have gaps. They did not learn how to read, efficiently and so or proficiently. There we go. And so one of the things that we can begin to do to get into prevention in the criminal justice arena is that we can begin to teach children how to read, especially those who are in at-risk communities and have less funding in their schools, less literacy support. And so as a church, we're behind that. We're partnered with Beyond Basics in the city of Detroit, and we are helping third grade children learn how to read. We are helping to fund this organization and get behind them and promote what they're doing, as well as volunteer and do experiences where we're blessing the families of these children and trying to create a sense of support that these families can really see a generational blessing from generation to generation. And so that's in the prevention side of things, but we also know that there are situations that happen even when you've worked in prevention, and what do they need? They need justice. And so here we see in the foundation of the throne of God is righteousness, which is prevention, and justice, which is crisis management. And with this crisis management, we are dealing with injustice, which has a smattering of truth around it. And so for us to begin to engage righteousness and justice, we really need the heart of the Father. And so I think it's important that we see justice as fiercely eliminating anything that gets in the way of the love of God. What does the love of God do? The love of God places value. The love of God places identity. The love of God allows us to function here on earth. And it allows us to get our breakthrough. It allows us to really demonstrate who He is. And so when you eliminate that freedom, ultimately that is injustice. And so God will fiercely remove those things. Anything that will devalue someone from their right standing with God, from their heirship with God, is an injustice. And so righteousness is the prevention of that. And so these work in tandem with one another, and we need to be focused on the responsibility of doing justice, or doing righteousness and doing justice, prevention and crisis management. And so as we begin to look at what goes in front of the Lord, we realize if we go back to Psalms 89, back in that verse, you'll see that it says that mercy, in verse 14, halfway through, mercy and truth shall go before your face. And so what we need to realize is that this is the Lord's face. Mercy and truth go before His face. They go before His countenance, or before He makes a decision, before He sets a standard. Mercy and truth are basically the environment of what that contains what needs to happen. And so there's something amazing about this, that nothing happens from the heart of the Father without first being filtered through mercy and truth. I think this is important because this colors what we believe is possible in mercy, or in justice, and in righteousness. This is essential for us to understand, is that we can't just define justice and believe that it gives us the ability to do whatever we want in the name of trying to get someone more valuable. No, mercy and truth have to go before us. And if mercy and truth are not going before us, our perspective on justice will be right but applied incorrectly. I've seen lots of people who've been right, but they were wrong in how they communicated. They were wrong in how they applied that truth. Even the devil knows the Bible and tried to tempt Jesus with the word of God. Technically, the devil was right, but he was weaponizing a truth for the benefit of deception. And it's important right now that we don't have an earthly response, but we have a heavenly response, a third heaven response to what justice and righteousness looks like here on the earth, okay? And so they go before him, and I think I want to spend some time on truth, and I have a couple of core values, all right? When we start to talk about truth, we have a couple of values because, you know, there's a lot of different truth out there. And what I want to talk to you about is, first of all, is, you know, what the goal of truth is. And first and foremost, the goal of truth is not to be right. The goal of truth is freedom. And so, you know, I've seen, you know, when you are not motivated by mercy and truth and you try to act on justice, justice can get hijacked and look a lot more like vengeance. And it's important to realize that justice is not vengeance. It is not our responsibility to gain vengeance. It is not our responsibility to be casting judgment. It is our responsibility to represent the heart of the marginalized, to represent the heart of those who've been oppressed, and to make sure that their value and that their interests are represented. But truth must go before us. And so if truth is going to go before us, it allows us to keep the focus on freedom. And so when we begin to think about freedom, you know, you can be right and not be free. I've seen a lot of people who've had data, and you know, and data can say a lot of different things. And, you know, you can find data to support any perspective. You can make the data talk a bunch of different ways. There's a lot of different angles you can see it. And what's important for us to realize is that just because you're right doesn't mean you're free. And then also, even if you do get into a level of freedom, we need to realize that freedom has to be available for all. And so real justice, when it's done, it never disqualifies someone else's freedom while advancing the freedom of the victim. And that's an important thing for us to understand right now. And so the discovery of truth is not a destination, because truth has to also be applied to reap the benefits of it. So back, number one, the point of truth is not just to be right. It is all about freedom. Point number two, value number two on truth, is that just because you're right doesn't mean you're free. Point number three, the discovery of truth is not a destination, because truth also has to be applied to reap the benefits of it. Point number four, value number four on truth, truth that doesn't bring freedom for all is an incomplete thought and ultimately impotent, okay? So freedom is always impregnated for the benefit of all. It always has that. Truth that brings freedom is like a womb that has, you know, a full capacity to bring life. Not just partial life, not just compartmentalized life, but full life. And so we have to realize that. Value number five, the ability to apply a multidimensional truth that dignifies all people with value. This is called wisdom. We need wisdom right now. Listening to multidimensional truth, even from those who differ from us, is called the counsel of wisdom. And so we really need to understand that we need to gain God's perspective and gain his heart, but we also got to realize that once we come back down here on the earth and have to engage this, that we need wisdom to realize that we're interacting with people who don't have heaven's perspective all the time. They may not have the vantage point of freedom for all in their truth, and their justice looks more like vengeance. They may be colored by, you know, have rose-colored glasses on what's, you know, going on, and it may be everything's peachy king or everything's way worse than we think it is. You know, we all speak from our vantage point, and it's important to see things from heaven's perspective, but then also have the wisdom to translate that into something that would make sense and bring value for all in this life. Truth isolated without the counsel of wisdom brings division. And so when people don't see their truth as simply a piece of a greater whole, they defend only from their perspective. And so many of the conversations we're having out there in Facebook land and different things are people communicating their perspective of truth, whether from their life experience, from their supplication with the Lord, from the maybe they've read something in the Bible, from hearing someone else's story. And we have truth coming from an emotional standpoint, from a cognitive or reason-based standpoint, from a scriptural standpoint, and everyone's kind of communicating from their angle of where their conviction lies according to their experience. And the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three, let everything be established. So what I think is important is that as we get inspired from the heart of God, that we're also willing to look around us so that we can realize how to apply mercy and truth in a righteous and just context. Mercy and truth go before us. What is mercy and truth? Well, this is the third heaven reality. What is justice and righteousness? This is the action of how we integrate truth and mercy here on the earth. And so we end up with blind spots when we isolate ourselves to, say, an emotional truth or just a cognitive truth, or just say, I have a spiritual thing that God just spoke to me, but I've never applied it in a community. You know, there's lots of people who say things that are in the Bible, but once again, they haven't applied them. And so because of it, it lacks the dimension of what was behind the heart of the Father in that scripture. And so there's a real need for us to understand what it looks like to really move from this place of truth that brings freedom for all, and let that be the environment that motivates or empowers righteousness and justice from the throne of God. And so I believe we need justice experienced. There is injustice right now, and we need to move from injustice to freedom. And so there is an emotional processing that is needed, which is the experience of mercy. Step number one is we need to be aware of mercy from a heavenly perspective that dignifies emotions, that allows us to listen, that allows us to have empathy. Step number two is we need to cognitively process. This is where we begin to process truth. This is where we begin to talk about facts. This is where we begin to talk about what is and what isn't, right? This is where we begin to process data. This is where we begin to process observations, right? And so step number three is now we need to bring a wise assessment. We need to look in our hindsight. What happened before? What's happening now? What's our current climate culturally? And what kind of world do we want to live in the future? All four lenses of hindsight, insight, oversight, and foresight will allow us to begin to assess in wisdom and process all that we've heard in our emotional processing, our cognitive processing. This is where the counsel of wisdom, this is where the mouth of two or three, let everything be established, begins to happen. Now we can begin to move into action. This is where justice and righteousness begin to show up. And these actions are founded on the idea that I was willing to go through an emotional process of mercy, I was willing to go through a cognitive process of truth, and then I was able to assess all of these things and the counsel of wisdom, which then allows me to have just action so that I don't get trapped into partial truth that only brings freedom for a few, that I don't get tripped up into a justice that looks a lot more like vengeance, so that we can really see heaven come to earth. When heaven comes to earth, all are set free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is step number five. Here it is. Freedom gets experienced. Step number one, we emotional process through mercy. Step number two, we cognitive process with truth. Step number three, we do wise assessing through the counsel of wisdom. Step number four, we move into just action of justice and righteousness, right? Generosity in action is righteousness, and justice is obviously God's love in action and removing anything that would get in the way. Step number five, freedom is experienced. Moving from injustice to freedom, if we can begin to engage the throne room of God, the third heaven reality, where the foundation is righteousness and justice, and then let mercy and truth lead us, I tell you what, some powerful things are gonna begin to happen here on the earth. You know what? You need to let mercy and truth lead your face right now. You need to let mercy and truth, come on, be your first thought. You need to let mercy and truth be your countenance. You need to let mercy and truth be the foundation of your thoughts from a heavenly perspective. We don't need man's wisdom right now. We need supernatural wisdom right now. We need the heart of the Father right now like never before. And I have a school that I'm launching right now called Prophetic Communication, where I'm going to get into the Council of Wisdom. You can go to propheticcommunication.com. I'm doing a school with Matt Gonzalez. We're going to be hitting the restoration of words of knowledge and the restoration of words of wisdom, because I believe it's in these two realms, the unseen of mercy and truth and the seen realm of justice and righteousness. In the middle of that, between these two realms, is the Council of Wisdom, is the restoration of words of wisdom, and we need that restoration. And so, Father, I'm gonna pray for you right now. Lord, let us reconnect right now with a commitment to mercy and truth, founded in your wisdom, that we can see justice and righteousness, that all would be free. God, let this word just begin to gain life inside of us right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, that we would see you clearly, we would experience who you are, and that we would see freedom for all, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, even here in America, Lord, it is our mantra, freedom and liberty for all, and not to mingle politics with religion. But God, Lord, I just ask that we've made that declaration in our country. Lord, I ask for a supernatural revelation, a kingdom perspective on what freedom and liberty really is. Not from a nationalistic perspective, not just from a citizen perspective, not from a Democrat or Republican perspective, but that God, we would see it from heaven's perspective and blow fresh wind on that reality, on that commitment that we've made, that all people would experience the dignity and value that they are worth, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we bless them. We say yes and amen in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, we got prayer teams available right now. They are available to minister to you. There's a Zoom link in the comments. Grab that. We'd love to pray for you. Share this message out. People need to hear this. This is not your average message you're hearing right now in America. This is heaven's perspective. This is wisdom, actually. It's on our house. It's in this ministry for such a time as this. We're not backing down. We're engaging what's going on because we believe, as solutionaries, that we can have a solution that will dignify all people with value. God bless you guys. Thanks for tuning in today. And we believe this, something good is about to happen. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you soon.